Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you clearly speak to us today. You pick up our hearts. You stir afresh our faith. You give us again perspective. You take our eyes off ourselves and you put them squarely back on Christ Jesus. You put our eyes squarely back upon the testimony of God, the testimonies of Him through His Word and through His safe, faithful servants. And in spite of circumstances, in spite of wars, in spite of persecutions, in spite of our own lack and where we fall short, in spite of all of that, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. In Jesus' name. We receive it by faith and we say thank you for stirring it up in us, Holy Spirit. I don't know why, but I don't know who it is, but don't fear of looking different. Somehow just thinking of John the Baptist, who came wearing camel hair clothing, eating locusts and honey, not putting his lips to alcohol, and being in the desert, and where else in the wilderness, and yet God used him mightily. Don't know for who that is. It's not maybe for everybody, but thank you, Lord. We need not fear man, but we need to fear God. Thank you, Lord. You're not limited to our boxes. You're definitely not limited to our cultural context. And what is appeasing to our cultural context, you're definitely not. You're also not limited to what is appeasing to the flesh. So, Lord, have your way in our midst. May we be who you've called us to be. May we look like what you want us to look like. May we sound like what you do through us. And we thank you for that, Lord. This with all eyes closed. If there's somebody with a very, very big vision of the Lord, it's a very big vision and promise, but it's intimidating in this season. It's really intimidating. The enemy is almost gunning for you, coming against you with intimidation of this vision that the Lord has given you. Just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Thank you, God, for these hands. Thank you for all of these hands. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I just declare over these callings, God is faithful. And there is not a man that he should lie. God is faithful, and there's not a man that he should lie. And in fact, he laughs at the plans of the enemy. Now in Psalm 2, I think it says he laughs. And thank you, Lord. Whatever comes in intimidation against these individuals and they're calling on their lives, Lord, you laugh at the lies of the enemy. You laugh at the lies of the enemy. And I declare lastly over these visions and callings, your kingdom come, your will be done. 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 Thank you, Lord. We are reminded that the favor upon our lives, the grace upon our lives is not because of us. It's because of those whose lives we will touch. You love us, yes, but it's not about us. It's about your Son and those that we will impact through the visions you give us. So, Lord, we say yes to the visions on these lives. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it in Jesus' name. It shall be so. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm a bit fired up this morning. In the good sense of the word, not because I've been looking after my three children, the whole weekend. But I'm very fired up. So I need to be careful of what I say. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you will do the talking through your Holy Spirit and that our faith will be based not upon my words, as I've many times said, like Paul, but your Holy Spirit and power. So please come and unlock in every heart that needs to hear what they need to hear. Please come and impart what they need to hear. Not for only for us in this place, but those that listen to this later on, Lord, may you unlock and empower and remind and restore and redeem so that we can walk in the fullness of who you've made us to be and bear the fruit that you've planned before time even for all of our lives. For those that are hearing this at a later stage, Lord, and for those that are listening now, Lord, and moreover, for our kids in Kids Church as well, Lord, may they be who God had called them to be. May they live out what God has called them to live out and to be, in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen, amen. I've been blessed so much this morning, and we can actually go home, but there's more. So let's trust that the Lord just comes and stirs our hearts. Whose faith has been stirred this morning? Amen. It's so beautiful how God knows what we need, eh? How often do you sit with someone, or sometimes you sit with someone, you think you know what they need, but God just knows so much better. And even this morning, in preparation, I had something planned, and then the Lord just said clearly to me, I need to talk in context of what we have been sharing. I need to spend time on His faithfulness, the fact that He is faithful. And how beautiful it came through in the worship and the ministry time that God is faithful. Your circumstances at the moment, whatever you've been facing and what you have been facing this last season, might not minister God's faithfulness to you, but that does not make Him unfaithful. There's so many beautiful examples in the Word of crazy situations, a crazy set of circumstances that the Lord works out for beauty instead of ashes. In all of your lives, and I've sat down with many, if not all of you guys, over a coffee, you can tell me countless stories of how the Lord is a redeemer and He's a faithful God to work out things for the good of those who love Him. And I believe He's a God that not only wants to give that to us, but obviously wants to share that with other people. What He has done, as we know, for the vision for this year, but what He has done and what He will be doing in us, He wants to do through us. What Christ has meant to you, He wants to mean to other people through your life. But we need to trust Him to walk in that. So just quickly, and you'll note, and Petri and I have chatted about this, and Edna and I as well, I often will stop and run through, and I know for Dominique this is quite difficult in recording. She often says that I've got 3 intros to my sermon. Probably have 4. She just didn't notice it. But the reason why I do this is I go through what we have shared a lot again. And it's not because I underestimate anybody's intelligence, or because I need to make up time, or I like to talk. I like to talk, but that's not why I need to regurgitate everything I have said. But it's very important, I believe, in our culture and context to repeat things so that it can become our own. So that's the reason. I just wanted to share the heart. I just thought of that it's very important that if I go and I have a long intro and I actually repeat 2 or 3 weeks and I give context again of where we're at, it's because I want us to travel together. We can come to church and we can tickle each other's ears and we can leave and say, oh, that was amazing. But yet Wednesday, you're not a changed person. And if in 3 weeks I ask you, so it was nice. It was a good experience you had at that other church. What was it? What changed your life? Then it's hum and ha. And so you've heard it said, and we know in Scripture that before you get new wine, you need to have a new wineskin. So before God places His Zoe life through His Spirit in something, He creates an understanding for that. A skin, so to speak. And so that's why we repeat things. I thought of this way back, and I have said it before, but the 4 R's, the 4 R's is important to remember. And this is why I do it, and I will keep on doing it. It's because you will hear something for the first time, and then as it gets repeated, only once it's repeated, you'll be able to remember it and recollect it. So in other words, if 3 weeks in a row I've said the same thing about inside out, inside out, inside out, and I meet you in a coffee shop, you'll be able to remember and recollect. That's about inside out. So we repeat things to remember them, recollect them, because my heart, and this is where it's important for a Christian, spiritually speaking, is once you can recollect, it can still stay intellect, but we want the road between here and here, here, my heart is probably not in my stomach, well, maybe over lunch, but now it's here. You want, what you start remembering, you want it to become revelation. Revelation, substance, faith. It's a bit of a supernatural thing. But it's one thing to have head knowledge and know something about rugby. It's another thing when it becomes part of your heart. Amen, brother. You see, he's had that experience. Some of you, unfortunately not. But you want to, from remember to go to revelation, because once something is a revelation, you'll run with it. So that's the four R's. So I'll repeat things, not because I want to irritate you or make up time, because I want you to remember it. But I don't want people with cognitive, intellectual knowledge on subjects of Christ alone. I want it to become revelation, where it's part of who you are, because then we'll run with it. Okay. Amen. So that's just the context. That's just the heart, why I always go back, why I always repeat. And then, to be honest, how often do we see each other? Like the Acts 2 church? No, not at all. We live in a culture where we need to fight to have time together. So if I have the privilege, not obligation, but the absolute privilege to feed God's flock, or to be part of the feeding in this church of God's flock, I take it seriously. But if I only see some of you guys every 9 weeks or every 10 weeks, it makes my job a bit difficult. I have no idea what you chow on elsewhere. And in fact, I bless you in that, and I'm not a controller. But the bottom line is, what I can do is, in the little time I do have, I want to do as proper as I can. That's why we repeat. Amen. So please eat good. So don't eat nonsense elsewhere, and please come and eat here as the Lord leads you. Test what you eat here, according to Scripture, the Holy Spirit, and other fear-believing or God-fearing, Bible-believing believers. Please do still test, but make sure you eat well. And when we repeat, it's because we want whatever we share to become revelation. There's now and again in coffees where somebody will mention go low again. Who remembers go low? We had, and you might have come into church thinking, oh, this again. But 3 years down the line, people are reminded by the Holy Spirit, I need to go low. I need to be humble. Humility is always a key in the kingdom, always. And so now it's part of, that person is running in the heart of humility of Christ because they're reminded of that. All right, so that was just a bit of an ad break. Dominique, that was one of my intros, just to make sure. So this year we said, before we run with vision, which is inside out, we need to know who we are again. In this culture, and especially with the enemy at your back, he's constantly going to ask you, who are you, who are you, who are you, who are you? And if you say, I'm a universitaris, or I'm a pharmacist, or I'm a janitor, or I'm an electrician, or I'm a this and the that and the other, you need to be able to stand in that identity. But we looked at Scripture and looked each other in the eye and said, if we look at Scripture, if we look at eternity, we are sons and daughters of God. And the basis of a relationship with God is one of family, yes, but what underlines that or undergirds that is covenant. Who's heard the word covenant before? Covenant, yes. It's a bit of an unfamiliar term in our day and age, except with marriage. We don't covenant too much. Okay? All the pets at home are quite thankful for that. We don't covenant like in the Old Testament anymore. Praise God for that. But we are in a new covenant. And that's what we said. It's important to know where you stand. If I'm in Canal Walk, I always get lost. I need to know, go to the board and tell me, where am I? As humans, you need to simplify sometimes. Who am I and where am I and where the heck am I going? Amen? It's very important because in a mingle moose, I don't know of a good English word for mingle moose, but mingle moose is good in English as well. But in life, with all of its stuff coming and going and then throwing the enemy into the mix, it is important for us as God's people to know who we are, whose we are, where we stand and how we stand and where we're going. The simplicities. Sons and daughters of God. Amen. Biblically speaking, in covenant with God. Bit of the old covenant, bit of the new covenant? No, only the new covenant. The perfect covenant, it's called the eternal covenant, it's called, and the one that was paid by Christ Jesus. Received by what? Good works? No. Received by faith, producing good works. Amen? So that's the type of covenant we're in. And then we stopped and said, what is this new covenant? What does it entail? And we looked at that a slight bit. Last week we looked at the first perk of the new covenant being sacrifice. You did not pay for the new covenant. Did you know that? Will you remember that? You're in a covenant dispensation called the new covenant dispensation. It is perfect. This is the age you live in. You should be thankful. You should have gotten up this morning not thinking, I live in Cape Town, I can see the mountain. No, you should have thought, I'm a son or a daughter of God, and I'm in the new covenant dispensation. There's millions and upon millions of people that would have loved to be in this time. I have the Spirit. I can hear His voice, not through Abram. I'm not part of the people of God of Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the people of God individually, firstly with the Lord through Christ Jesus, and I can hear my Father, and He can lead me personally. That's a pretty good thing. That's a pretty good thing, and a pretty good thing to be thankful for. So we looked at the first perk last week called sacrifice, and today I believe the second perk of the new covenant is God is faithful, which will make you think all of a sudden, well, if God is faithful, what does that make me? We're going to look at that. What is covenant again? A covenant is a type of relationship that is shaped by promises made to each other. You can go to the next slide. Thank you. These promises are held as sacred and binding even to the point of death. So it creates, fosters a longevity of such relationship. There's a do or die type of thing. That's what marriage is, do or die. And God said, I will not just have this formal relationship with you. I will covenant with you. In other words, it is eternal. It's a do or die type of thing. I'm really in this. And way back when, obviously, covenant was much more applicable in day-to-day living, they would have understood that, whoa, he really means business. And today, in our context, the only one that we can refer to is maybe marriage, but we would still be reminded that marriage in a Christian context, it's the real deal. This ernstig. Till death do us part. And God says, this is the way I covenant with you. I make promise with you. I will be your God and you will be my people. What's the three elements again? We're repeating a bit. Three elements of covenant is the promises. There's a sacrifice, a payment being made. Blood was shed. And then there's the sign. So three things. You've got the promises. You've got the sacrifice. And then you've got the sign. It's beautiful in the new covenant, the dispensation that we're in. God, through the Trinity, comes and He sees, well, man cannot do this on their own. In fact, the old covenant, we just clearly saw that we couldn't cut the mustard. And so He said, well, I will help you out. I make the promises. I will be your God and you will be my people. I will bless you and keep you and you will live eternally. Then my son comes, Christ comes and says, well, I need to do my part as well. I will pay. I will become man and die on a cross, the perfect spotless lamb, and I will pay their part in cutting covenant. So God cuts covenant actually with Himself on our behalf. And then the sign of the covenant, what is the sign that I'm married? The ring. In the new covenant dispensation, we can clearly see, what is the sign that I'm a Christian? The Holy Spirit, yes. Not the fact that I've got an orange shofar t-shirt. Oh no. That is not the sign. Not the fact that I've got a fish bumper sticker. No, that's not the sign. The fact that I have the Holy Spirit, and hopefully by God's grace, have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So those are the three things that God comes and He covenants with us. He comes in agreement. He says, this is the basis. But in fact, I know you're so fallible. You're not good at all in and of yourself because of sinful nature, because of the fallenness of man. I will come through the Trinity, and even the agreement with that I have with you, I will help you with. Knijp yourself, this is goeie nuus. That's why I'm repeating it. You need to know it's good news. So the first thing, the promises we said, and we remember the context today, is we're going to look at God's faithfulness. Who likes faithful friends? Who loves an untrustworthy spouse? No. Great. Who likes an untrustworthy rugby team? Oh, nee. Praat to a blowball, no. We don't like untrustworthy friends, spouses, kids. I find one of my kids, let me not put them on the spot, having received a couple of gifts for Valentine's Day, which I, by the way, don't really do. But anyway, she got a bunch of chocolates, and I come into the room, it's like just past 9 a.m, having to dig in all of that. I'm like, what is going on? No, but I didn't know. I'm like, you can't have chocolates without just chatting to me. It's one thing keeping you alive for this weekend and then not giving you only pastries and chocolate. Moments later, comes in with a mint, a white mint. But you didn't say I couldn't eat a white mint. I'm like, come on. And so faithfulness and trust is really important in all relationships. It's really important. So I needed to lay down the boundaries for this weekend and what we're eating and what we're not eating. And so we want this in all relationships. So God says, I make covenant with you. And today we're going to look at the fact that it's such a perk, it's such a blessing, such a privilege that He is faithful. And that in spite of us not being perfectly faithful, who of you have ever been unfaithful? Those not raising your hands, you're being unfaithful now. So all of us can truly put up our hands. We all have neglected to walk in trust and be faithful in some way, shape, form. Who's ever driven 61 in a 60K zone? Yeah, only one. The other day, I don't know why I share this, but I remembered not wanting to, but I kind of saw an answer to a history paper answer when I was like very small, just when you started off. And how that moment, I can still see that, Visterfield, written by Johan Vermaak on his paper. And how I saw that, sitting close to him or whatever, and how that moment had such a gripping effect on my life. It wasn't probably the first time that I saw something that I shouldn't have or said something I shouldn't have, but it had a gripping effect. And I realized the fallenness of man, because I really did well in my subjects, but I just didn't want to see that. But yet had a moment where I looked at his paper and saw that, Visterfield. I don't know even what the question was. But to the day, I actually I'm reminded of that. Now, I've had unfaithful moments really much worse than the Visterfield since then. But it's beautiful how the Lord will just come and work in our lives to say, you need to study well yourself. You need not look at somebody else's answers, etc. And so we all want to be faithful. Amen? I think where you maybe get people in this world that really don't give a hoot, but they're just hurt. But at our core, we want to be faithful. We want other people to be faithful around us, bottom line. But we can't do it without the Lord. That I can honestly tell you. You might think that you're nice and sorted out. You've either not been in the right set of circumstances or you don't know the places where you're unfaithful. You know, there's certain things that are really important to me, and if you get these right, you are right. But yet there's things to God, things like maybe other Skinner, gossip. I think gossip is one of those things that you might not steal and you might drive right and this, that, and the other, but I think gossip really gets to the Lord. Gossip, slander, pointing of the finger, malicious speaking. And with all due respect, I do not know a person that if not, I've seen people backtrack pretty good out of it, and I like that, and I honor them for the righteousness, but I think it's somewhere, and especially in church circles, we need to be so careful. And so looking at all of life, there's many places where we can find ourselves to be unfaithful, but we've got a faithful God. Moving back to covenant, we saw last week in Hebrews 9 the four things. We're looking at the fact that we are covenant people, because at the end of the day, we want to live inside out. In other words, the Spirit that is in us, the new covenantal Spirit, the law that is in us, the living waters that is in us, to first be established as the kingdom on our inside, and then authentically to live that out. Not to be a religious people that act right, but on the inside are dead man's bones. A dirty cup on the outside, on the inside, but nicely washed on the outside. So that's what we're working at. That's what we're trusting God for. And so we saw last week the four things that we receive because of the new covenant. and the blood of Christ, as we get cleansed from our sins, purify our conscience. Who remembers that when they got saved? All of a sudden, you don't feel all of that shame and condemnation anymore. It's really brilliant, especially if you were a sinner before. Like me. Only me, apparently. Righteous church. Hallelujah. Easy job. Enable us to serve God. It will help you from the inside out to be able to serve God. It's not always that easy. Thank you to the setup team and the small group this morning. It's not always easy to get up and be on 7 on a Sunday. And then lastly, to give us an eternal inheritance. I've got such a strong belief, and I just know as I know that I've got an eternal inheritance, that I will live forever. It's just, I don't have to argue with anybody. I don't have to prove it to you. I just know as I know as I know. And so these are the things that we get from the promises of God in the new covenant. And then we know the last two elements. We're not going to look at them today. We're going to stand still at the faithfulness of God. Now, what does faithfulness mean, by the way? I think we all know. In your heart, you know. Because you know when you're unfaithful, in a little and much, when you're untrustworthy. And you also know what it feels like if somebody else is untrustworthy and unfaithful towards you. But faithfulness, if you go look, and this is for me quite important, but the Strong's definition, if you go look at the root word, the Hebrew root word is aman. Aman. Not afro, but aman. That's just the joke. It's called aman, and that means verity or truth. So faithfulness, the root word for faithfulness is aman, and that word means truth. Which is very simple. But if somebody is faithful, they are truthful. If somebody is operating faithfully, it means they operate in the truth. Now, here's an interesting one before we move on to explore the faithfulness of God. Can I be faithful in error? Can I be faithful and deceived? And I was, it seems like a bit of a power outage. You can't. Technically, you can't. If faithfulness is truth, and truth is a person, if I'm faithful in something that is, I can be a very faithful prostitute. Yeah, you can be a faithful prostitute. But it doesn't make it faithful, for it is not godly. So maybe a bit more to, I thought of this weird example. I was, flabby growing up as a kid. I'm still a bit flabby, but a bit less flabby. I'm being honest now because I want us to get somewhere. I want you to get this. And so if I believe, if I look well after myself, and if I eat well and exercise well, if I am in shape, then I will be happy and accept it, and I'm faithful in the process, will it become truth? And then when I start praying, say, Lord, please, I want to look like the guys on the front page of the Men's Health, Lord, because then I will be happy. And I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray, and it doesn't happen. That doesn't make God unfaithful. God will always be faithful to truth. The truth is, Retief, you will not, and I'm using a man here as an example because I don't want to put anybody on the spot. I can use money and business, because that's a very applicable example. But I use a very weird example because I want us to just think about this. Because many people are very faithful in things that are not truth, and they will miss God in the process. So you can work hard, work hard, work hard, work hard, and you think that is going to save you. And you're like, where are you, God? But God is like, come to me. I am salvation. I can work hard and I can gym and eat less and this, that, and the other, and then be unfulfilled and not happy at the end of the day. But I could have been very faithful in doing that, but miss God. So you can train very hard, do lots and lots and lots of exercise, drink lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of water, but you're unfulfilled. You can work very hard, very faithfully, make lots of money, but you're unfulfilled. You can have that car that you worked hard for, have that house and have that house at the sea and have that place on the farm. You can have, be very faithful in that, but you're unfulfilled. Because I believe faithfulness, as definition, we need to be careful of. Because I need to be faithful in things of truth to see the faithfulness of God. I'm going to park that there. You mull over it. You chow over that. We're going to get back to that shortly. Because we need to look at faithfulness. We want people to be faithful. We want to be a faithful people. But at the end of the day, God is faithfulness personified. But we need to be careful of what we're faithful in to have it be true faithfulness. Who of you are faithful? Who of you are faithful? Who of you are not faithful? It's one of those yes, no answers, hey? So you can raise your hands on both, and that's good. I don't want to go stand on this too long, because I believe we see this here, but we live in a day and age where we often hear that's really a good guy. That's a good guy. He's really good. But we know Scripture says in Mark 10 that Jesus says, no man is good. Christ referring even to himself, saying, one is good, God is good. And so as Christians, we need to come to the realization, no one is good in and of themselves. Amen? Can I get an amen to that? I know we often sit like, yes, but you don't know this part, or you don't know what I've given, or what I... No, guys, you need to, because we're working towards a thing called humility, and that's always important. We need to make sure that we know that in and of ourselves, there is no goodness. Scripture says the following as well, Psalm 143, verse 2. Do not bring your servant into judgment, for no one alive is righteous before you. Save for Christ Jesus, save for our faith in him, no one is good. Who finds that difficult to put through the system? That I'm not good. Come on, be honest. Have an honest moment. It is difficult sometimes to work that through. Because everything in us wants to do it right. Everything in us wants to be good. I see it with my kids. They just want to please. And so we constantly measure and we constantly go for wanting to be good. Yet the Lord says in the New Covenant dispensation, but it is by faith through grace. And it's like, it's difficult. Yes, part of me wants to live by faith in Christ alone to be righteous, but a part of me wants to just hit the mark. Just ding, 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 I've done it. Gone to church, I've sowed, I've not driven too fast, I've been faithful, I didn't check Fisrafir on his answer paper. And a part of us want to do that. I found a while back, I said to the Lord, maybe I should just step out and just take a break and rest a bit and not minister so much or this, that, and the other, just to make sure that I'm healed up. And the Lord immediately pipes up. So you've been ministering out of your own righteousness. Because in that moment, I was just not feeling like confident. I just had this, I didn't feel confident about this ministering, just being honest. And the Lord said, so it was actually based upon your own righteousness. I'm like, yes. Yes, it was. I'm like, I repent. The only reason I can ever pick up a mic, the only reason I can ever prophesy a word or preach, Lord, is because of Jesus. It is only because of Jesus. And guys, I want to, and we need to get the Pharisee mindset out of our system. Not to be hard on ourselves, but because we want to grasp the fullness of what he has for us. Because self-righteousness will always lead to a dead end. Self-righteousness will always lead to a dead end. And unfortunately, do not think you stand lest you fall. So Romans 3 verse 10 also says, as it's written, there is no one righteous, not even one. And so we start realizing, maybe in and of myself, I'm not very faithful. If the Lord should take his finger off me, I might not be faithful. Can we maybe agree on that? Who likes to agree on that? Who likes saying yes? Well, I don't always like saying that. I want to do it right. But the Lord says, you can't. Deal with it. There's a dying to self and wanting to do it right sometimes. There's a beauty that comes through giving up, surrendering, saying, I can't, I'm a woeful sinner without you, and then standing up and walking in righteous works. That's a beautiful person. You know them. You've seen them. Where they've come to the place where they've died to their own righteousness. They've died to their own acclamations and righteous deeds and wanting to be Oleg and Steve Stunning and Wifsian and you know what. Dying to that. And then the Lord coming through and lifting them up mightily. But then knowing that where it is based on and where it comes from. The flip side quickly is Galatians 5, or not flip side, but maybe another side of looking at the same argument. Galatians 5 verse 22 to 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. So faithfulness is a fruit of the? Is faithfulness a fruit of your flesh? Is faithfulness a fruit of your flesh? No. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. So what if somebody is not a believer? Sorry, it's one of those questions like the previous one, but I like them. We're going to think of them all week. If somebody is not a believer, they're not born again, can they be faithful? I don't think they can. They can be faithful in something that is not applicable to God, which in our context, which is the true context, sorry, it sounds arrogant, but that's the way we should be thinking, is not truthful. So somebody can be very faithful at something they were not made for or called for. And the world will lift them up high. They will become heroes. But before God, it will mean nothing. So I'm going to ask my question again. If somebody is not born again, can they be faithful? I might add, eternally speaking, to make it easy. Yes or no? For I believe faithfulness is truth. And truth is who? Jesus. So if I'm faithful in... anyway, I think you get it. We get it. But it's a tough one if you put it in the computer. Because we so like to look up to people. I was a lawyer. If I had worked Monday to Friday, long hours, overtime, I've left the office after the last director or with the last director. And on Saturdays, I would go into the office. And even on Sundays, brief an advocate in town, it would be applauded. Wow, what a faithful guy. But if I told them on Wednesday afternoon, I'm going to leave early because I'm going to go watch my kid run 80 meters on a field that barely has grass, it's frowned upon. It's unfaithful because I do it a lot, for instance. Or I leave early because I'm taking my kids to see the sunset. That's not faithfulness. So I'm asking you again, what are we going to base our faithfulness upon? I'm not speaking against hard work. I'm not saying that it cannot be God's will for you in seasons to work overtime and do these things. I'm saying, be careful of what you're faithful in for it to be true faithfulness. I'll repeat that and I'll leave that point there. Be careful of what you're faithful in for it to be truly faithfulness. Faithfulness is a person. It's not a do, it's a person. Faithfulness is not of me and of my flesh, but of Him. His covenant and His Spirit. Why are we looking at it? Because we're a new covenant people and we're saying, we in and of ourselves miss the mark wholeheartedly. We're unfaithful if it's not for His grace. He is faithful. Look at this beautiful scripture. 2 Timothy 2:10 to 13 says, therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. I believe that's a good setup for faithfulness. You've died. Died for my own aspirations, building my own kingdom. I've died with Him, but I'm alive with Him. I'm alive with truth. I'm alive with the one that is faithfulness. Verse 12, if we endure, we also reign with Him. If we deny Him, he also will deny us. That's a maybe a good thing to remember. And then verse 13. If we are faithless, or I would say unfaithful, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. If we are unfaithful or faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. How beautiful is that? How much grace is packed in that? Even if you're unfaithful, and here's the beautiful thing to be encouraged, even if you miss the mark, which we do, he is faithful. Even if you're faithful in something that is not applicable to him, or is not important, or not a primary objective of the Lord in the season, he will help you, he will stay faithful. Even though the whole of mankind was unfaithful, no man is good, no one is righteous, in spite of that, God decided to stay faithful, for he cannot deny himself. He is in your marriage, he's in your kids, he's in this church, he is in the community, he's in South Africa, and he is faithful. Are we faithful as a government? Are we faithful as a church? Are we faithful in our homes always? No, we are not. But he will not deny himself, he will stay faithful. The caveat there is just to be careful of trusting his faithfulness. And also defining his faithfulness. God will not deny himself. God will stay faithful to himself. This sounds weird, but listen up. God will stay faithful to himself. I'm going to use an example again. I don't want to step on toes. I'm not going to use myself this time because I don't have major investments. But if you want God to be faithful in turning around South Africa, let's test our hearts. Is it because of my Alan Gray investments that I want the economy to turn around? Is it because I don't want my electricity to go off for 2.5 hours and so I want God to be faithful in South Africa? Or am I heart really breaking for the lost and for the poor and for the previously disadvantaged and for the rejected? Is it because I actually want my house value to stay nice and high that I want the Lord to be faithful in South Africa? There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. But as a primary objective, or do I care for the people in Dunoon? I'm just saying, he is faithful even though we're faithless. And let's be careful when we want him to be faithful in something. Let's just check our hearts. Let's just check our hearts. And I'm speaking to I own a house. I also own a fair bit of debt on it. But I also want this country not to go down in smoke. But I need to check my agenda for that. Is it about Alan Gray? Is it about Old Mutual? Is it about Sanlam? Or is it about my property? Or is it about the domestic person that works in my home? Is it about the people that I see on the street? Is it the people that pack my food in my bags in Pick and Pay that my heart is yearning for God to be faithful? For he will not deny himself. But we might get sidetracked if we're trusting him and we're wanting something from him, but it's actually about us and not about him. I'll park that there. I think it's enough to chew on. God's new covenant faithfulness submitted to us through Scripture. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3. The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. So he will establish you and he will guard you. Psalm 91 verse 4. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. You can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping you from harm. That's the good, good Father. And that's the good, good Father's faithfulness. Psalm 33 verse 4. The word of the Lord is upright and his work is done in faithfulness. That is who he is. Guys, let's be careful. Let's be careful of taking our circumstances, seeing the facts around us, the things we face, and deriving God's faithfulness from that. God's faithfulness is what? He's truthful and faithful towards himself. In other words, Scripture is a good way to look at it. Lord, I want to be thin and happy. Lord, I want to be rich and blessed. Lord, I want... No. Look at Scripture. Scripture will lead you. Scripture will lead you. Scripture will lead you to what he believes good, eternal, and faithful is. Who think they might need to redefine God's faithfulness in certain areas? I moved to Malmesbury thinking that we're going to be established in Riebeek. It was 5 years of our lives. Both of us had no employment. We didn't have an income for 3.5 years, going hard after God. I thought because God had spoken to me prophetically, I will see revival come to Malmesbury. But in that whole process, what he did is he dissected the things of my heart, the way in which I was thinking. And I just wanted to move as soon as I got the salary, the right salary. Lord, I just want X amount in my pocket, and I'll follow you. And I didn't know that there might be something wrong with that thinking. Whereas he said, no, I am your God. I'm your God, and I'm your only God. And so going through that whole 5 years, actually returning to town, returning to from the Platteland, coming back, realizing that it was never about the destination, but it was the inner working of him in me. My thinking of what faithfulness should have looked like was redefined. Maybe God wants to redefine how we see his faithfulness also. Are you open to that? You are open to that if you know him and trust him. That's the beauty. And he will speak to you. He will comfort you. And he will whisper to you his truths. And then obviously you need to get stuck in the word. I'm quickly going to finish off by looking at Ezekiel that we looked at last week. Because I believe that's the faithfulness of God. That even if I'm trusting, Lord, I just don't want to go let this country go down in flames, because actually I just don't want to lose what I have. I'm pretty comfortable in South Africa. That even if that is so in my case, which it probably is, he will change my heart from the inside. And say, hey, Retief, yes, I want to save your property and I want to save those that are around you and your family. But hey, Retief, what about the people down the road? Can we maybe have a heart for them? Can we look out for them? Can we make sure that they've got food and that they've got a place to stay? Hey, Retief, how about that? You see, the beauty of the new covenant is he will do that in us. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you. In other words, he will cleanse me. That's the beauty. You're not going to walk out of here thinking, feeling condemned, because you are going to realize, hey, man, I need help. And we see in this prophecy that he said, I will clean you up. Hey, Retief, if you're selfish about your investment or your property, I will help you, but let me. Hey, Retief, if you could not care less for the poor, I will help you, but let me. Hey, Retief, if you thought you were actually faithful in and of yourself and realized that you're not, but I am faithful in you, I will help you. I will help you. I will help you. That's a good father. I will cleanse you from your impurities and from your idols. Oops, okay, God, I realize. Boom, there you go, there you go, there you go. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Here's the beauty of grace. He will help us. So if anything this morning convicted you, it's very simple. Lord, I see it. Forgive me. Help me. That's it. That is as simple as it is. Lord, I actually don't care about the fact that Ramaphosa is going to heaven or not. But I just don't want this country to go down in flames, Lord. He will help you. Confess, repent, and he will help. Then you will live in the land, etc., etc. What do we see from Scripture? We see, I will, I will, I will. In other words, God will, God will, God will. He will make you a new person, cleanse you, he will give you a new heart. He will put his spirit in you, and you will be his people. I believe the Lord wants to encourage us today not to look to self too much. Yes? Test your own heart, test your own agendas, test your motives, but don't linger too long on yourself. Turn to the Lord and say, Lord, you are faithful. So wherever I'm unfaithful, you're going to have to make me faithful. Wherever the fruit of unfaithfulness is not seen in my life, Holy Spirit, there's room to work. Wherever the faith has been dormant in my life, Holy Spirit, there's room to work. That's the beauty of the new covenant. He will, he will, he will. But we need to let him, let him, let him. There's a couple of testimonies I wrote down there, but I want to finish off with, how do we receive this faithfulness of God? We've noticed now, okay, Retief, you might have a point there. Scripture is saying that I'm not too faithful in and of myself. I see it is definitely not a fruit of my flesh, but of the Holy Spirit in me. And true faithfulness can actually only be those that are faithful to the truth, who is a person, Christ. Whoa, that just changes my paradigm of faithfulness. It might not be that Tani that works slaves herself off 24/7. She might just need Christ more than she needs to work so hard. Oh, wow. It need not be the guy that's a billionaire. That might not be faithfulness because it's got nothing to do with Jesus. Whoa, it just changes my way of thinking. But okay, Retief, how do I make this real? How do I make this real that I can tap into God's faithfulness? Who's ever seen a current in the sea? Who's ever experienced a current in the sea? It's one thing seeing, it's one thing experiencing. I've had a major fright in that. Who's ever seen a river? Who's ever been in a river? Okay, I rest my case. I think you can connect the dots. It's the same with God's faithfulness. You might be able to see it from afar, but if you want to experience it, you need to be in it. You need to be in the kingdom, in the family, wholeheartedly surrendered. If you want to see His faithfulness, you can't have one foot on the bank of the river, one foot in the river. You need to be in the river. For seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not long work hours, not building your career, not establishing a family, not all of that. It might come as a fruit of all of that. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But if you want to see the faithfulness of God, surrender all. Get into the river. Get into the current. Get into the stream. That's how you see it. His faithfulness will be faithful towards truth. His faithfulness will always be faithful towards Jesus. So I need to go and look at the things I want to see His faithfulness in and make sure. If I want Him to be faithful in making me rich, monetary speaking, yeah, I always have to do this, but He doesn't always want to make all Christians rich. Did you know that? Will you get Christians that are stinking rich and it's God's will? Yes, you will. Well, that just freaks out. That just messes with me. That's God. But the bottom line is, do I want Him to see His faithfulness for the things that He wants to be truthful to? He wants to be very faithful towards this church for salvations. He wants to be very faithful towards this church community for laying down your life, loving your neighbor, losing yourself. He wants to be very faithful towards you in keeping your mouth shut in an argument with your spouse. He wants to be very faithful towards you in doing the right thing when nobody's looking. He wants to be very faithful towards you in your finance if you are faithful towards Him and His ways and seeking His kingdom and discipling the nations for His name's sake. So God is faithful, and we're going to see His faithfulness if we align ourselves with the things that is important to Him. If I truly am your friend, then the things that is important to you will become important to me. And I'll see the favor of you and the friendship in my life. Likewise with God, it's relational. If He's into it and you're into it, you're going to see the faithfulness of the Lord. So five things I believe we need to do is, let me put myself again in the spotlight. I need to humble myself. Eyes off you, Retief, eyes on Jesus. I need to believe in Christ. In other words, I need to take and make the Word mine. Not thinking, well, pity at the splash pool in a hasty but He's here. So God would probably want to give me a splash pool in a hasty but He's here. No, in fact, that if I want you to go to China and lose your life for the sake of the kingdom so a big harvest can come. Lord, I was thinking jacuzzi. God is like, I was thinking cross. I'm like, okay. It's a bit of a disconnect about what faithfulness here might be. But hear what I'm saying. So I need to humble myself, believe in Jesus. In other words, what has Jesus called me to do? I need to then confess and say, Lord, and maybe some of us need to do that. In and of myself, I'm not too faithful. Especially in your things. I'm pretty faithful in my things, but I hear now this morning that might not even be faithfulness. So I need to confess and then turn and say, Lord, where should I return? Where should I, what should I turn to? Fourth thing is, be obedient then to the inner witness. As I said, this is the beauty of the new covenant, but it kind of talks with us, because Petri might have a grace on his life to make bucket loads of money where I've not been called to do that, and that's faithfulness for him, but faithfulness for me looks totally different. But I need to adhere to the inner witness. And then at the end of the day, the fifth one that's important to me is, if I want to see the faithfulness of God, do not give up. Whatever you're facing at the moment, do not give up. Another way of saying that is, don't harden your heart. Do not harden your heart. God will put us in contradicting situations sometimes that makes the enemy come to you and say, well, is he really faithful? You know that Malmesbury season, you guys can stand with me as I share the testimony, please. In that Malmesbury season, I was sitting in Shofar Malmesbury, not knowing where lunch will come from, not knowing where the money for lunch will come from, in church. And Jock Carstens came and he sat next to me and he told me about the Land Cruiser that he bought yesterday. Who does not know what a Land Cruiser is? Who does not know what lunch is? And so I sit there with this one God in this one church with this one worship. I also raised my hands. Yes, he's taller and it might be a bit higher. He just bought a cruiser, Toyota Cruiser, and I'm thinking, where's lunch coming from? Had I misunderstood what God wants to be faithful in, I would have hardened my heart and I could walk away from as a believer. And I can forfeit and lose my calling. Let's put it that way. But in realizing God is faithful but he's relational, he had whispered and said, Retief, this is for a season and for a reason. I had known and I got to know him personally as a good, good father. And it's not about lunch or the cruiser. But he came through faithfully at the end of the day. Faithfulness is a new covenant work and fruit of God's Spirit in you to manifest through and out of you. I take off a yoke off you guys in Jesus' name. I take off an ungodly yoke, a religious yoke. So that's not, in other words, from God. Unreligious yoke of being faithful outside of the Spirit of God. You need to be faithful as the Spirit leads you and help you. If you stuff up, you need to say, I stuff up, I'm unfaithful, help me. Because this is just the mess I am without you. I struggle in serving, I struggle in giving, I struggle in this or I struggle in that. Lord, I'm not faithful, but I know you're faithful and you are truth. And I say, truth, you live in me. Faithfulness personified, you actually live in me. How do I get you out? How do I get you as part of me? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that a false yoke and burden of being faithful can be taken off us. Other people, even religiously being placed upon us to be a certain way, to act a certain way, that is not of you, Lord, that is work of man, we come and cast off that burden. But we know that there is a faithfulness burden in Christ for each and every one of us. We call to good works, but it's an inside-out work. For truth lives in me. Faithfulness personified lives in me. The Spirit of God, which is the spirit of faithfulness, the fruit of faithfulness, is in me. And so I say, thank you. I want to partner with you, Lord. I want to partner with you to be faithful. Maybe if you are trusting for God's faithfulness, but you've realized today, maybe I've got it a bit out of whack with what God wants to do and what I want to do. And so I'm constantly getting hurt because I'm trusting God for things and I'm missing out on his faithfulness, but it was actually that my object for faithfulness or my vision for where I want to go was actually not his heart. And so I've missed him and I've gotten hurt. If that's maybe you, just raise your hand. You've got an expectation. You had an expectation of church before, of people, of God, but you realize your expectation was maybe not in line with Scripture and not in line with Christ, maybe. And you just want healing and restoration. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. And we simply say thank you that you bring healing and restoration, Lord, where we might have thought it is you, but it was not your heart. And then secondly, if you simply want to be faithful, for the Lord is faithful in you and through you, just raise your hand that we can simply pray. Lord, thank you. We see faithfulness is a fruit of your Spirit. We want to be a faithful people. We don't want to waste or miss mess around and waste our time, Lord, on things that is actually not important to you, but it's important to culture, and so we think it's important to you. We don't want to waste that time. But we want to be faithful in what faithfulness is faithful in. That is you. Make us a people that are truly faithful. Make us a people that are truly faithful. And in the same sense, Lord, where we have been unfaithful, thank you. It's very simple. We can just say, jammer, Here, sorry, Lord. We repent. We turn back. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And just a quick last thing. If there's a place, there's something you face, something that's been so tough for so long, and you've been challenged so much, is God going to come through in this? Is He going to be faithful in this? And it's been so tough for you. And sometimes you want it to feel like you want to give up on God's faithfulness. But you just want strength not to give up. Just raise your hand quickly. I believe there's things like, there's a church full of things like that. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you, thank you, thank you. God, you're faithful. God, you're faithful. We do not stand upon emotions in this moment. We don't stand upon experience in this moment. We don't stand upon the breakthrough in this moment. We stand upon who God is, who His character is, who this good Father is, who cannot deny Himself. You are faithfulness, and you cannot deny yourself. I speak it into each and every one of these situations, including my own. God is faithful. God is faithful. In spite of us, God is faithful. And to this church, I speak and prophesy over your future. God is faithful. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Lekker rustige dag by die kerk. I hope you guys have a brilliant week. Grab some coffee. Thank you. If there's something that tugged your heart, something that actually bugged you, or is a problem, come and chat to me. Otherwise, grab coffee, have some fellowship. See you next week. God bless.